and true. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can. I'm a believer and not a doubter. I'm a doer, not just a hearer. I am humble before the Lord. I'm obedient to the Lord. I am mature in the Lord. I'm enthusiastic about the Lord. I know that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Amen. Our text scripture comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and I'll just read it to you here in verse 31. It says, so whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, somebody say whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. It's all about him, right? Not about us. So whatever we do, whether we eat or drink, and it'll make sense to you when we get there, whatever you decide to do, make sure God get the glory out of it. Whether you eat or drink, and anything else that you do in this life, God ought to get the glory. Amen? You may be seated. Well, this is going to be a sermon that I guess that we're going to kick off our theme for the year 2025. And I pray that 2024 has been a blessing to you. You're still here. So you, if nothing else, you can count that as a blessing. Amen. But in this year of 2025 that's coming, we're going to just work with this thought, the year of precise intentionality. And I know that's long and lengthy, but it's pretty simple once we get down to it. See, intentionality is the fact of being deliberate or purposeful. In other words, when you do it, you're doing it on purpose. Ain't no accident. It indicates that something is done or was done deliberately and not accidental or unintentional. So precise intentionality is about deliberately aligning your thoughts, your words, your actions, and your relationships with God. Now, the Bible doesn't explicitly use the term intentionality, especially in a philosophical way. But there are many scriptures that emphasize intentional actions, deliberate choices, and purposeful living, which relate to the concept of intentionality. And we will see scripture verses that emphasize living with intentionality, making wise choices and aligning actions with God's purpose and values. So I want to encourage you and exhort you to be intentional as you serve the Lord by doing things on purpose. Somebody say on purpose. That means deliberate. You meant to do it. For a purpose, somebody say for a purpose. You know, that's the goal of the aim. And with purpose. That's your attitude while you're doing it. So we want to this year do things on purpose. That means we mean to do it. Ain't going to be no accident. For a purpose, our goal or aim, and with attitude, like we meant to do it. Y'all with me today? I mean, you ain't just got to apply this to the church. This is going to apply to your life. Some things you need to just do on. And you need to know what your outcome is supposed to be. And while you're doing it, you ought to have an attitude. Amen. See, as Christians, all aspects of our lives should be lived intentionally with the aim of glorifying God. So whether it's big or small, every action or deed we do, it can be done with an attitude that glorifies God. Now look at this. Let me go back to the beginning in the book of Genesis real quick. And I got four turns, but some of them are lengthy. I want to get through all of them today, but I may read the crowd and let y'all have a break. But I do want to get through these turns. But look, he says in the book of Genesis chapter 4, verse 3 through 8. In these verses, I want you to primarily highlight Abel's intentionally, offered the best of his flock to God, demonstrating his faith and devotion to God. In other words, he purposely pleased God by giving him his, somebody say best, best offering with the right attitude. But I also want to briefly show you that bad things can be done intentionally also. That's why we must strive to intentionally do good by doing all things to the glory of God. Y'all with me in Genesis chapter 4? Look at this, verse 3. It says, when it was time for the harvest. So it was something that they did regularly. It wasn't no new thing. Something that they had seen their parents do. So this wasn't the first harvest. Cain presented some of his crops as a gift to the Lord. Abel also brought a gift. And then, pause, the best. Somebody say the best. There's a difference between just bringing a gift and bringing the best. I mean, sometimes we come to church and we just offer up a gift, but God said he won't do. If you're not going to give him your best praise, a lesser praise is not good enough. And it's not going to be pleasing. So when you come in the church and this year, intentionally say, we know that the first 10 minutes or so of this service is about worship and praising God. So no matter what the choir sound like, you come in with the intention that I'm going to be a part of the. And I'm going to give it my best, even if I'm off key. I'm going to give it my best. If they tell me to clap, I'm going to give it my. Because anything less than your best, is not good enough for God. So he offered the best of the firstborn lambs from his flock. The Lord accepted Abel and his gift. Man, when you give God your best, he accepts your gift and he accepts. You. So I wouldn't want to come to church every Sunday and leave and believe that God didn't accept what I offered up. But look at this. Verse 5 says, but he did not accept Cain and his gift. This made Cain very, somebody say very. He wasn't just angry, but he was. You know, when the Bible says you got to be very something, that means that, you know, you went above. You weren't just angry. He was very angry, and he looked good God Almighty. Let me speak to some of y'all right now for y'all to tell y'all friends that's a combination that you don't want to be dealing with. Anger and dejection. You don't want to be dealing with folks who's walking around angry all the time and who are dejected, meaning they're kind of depressed. Because when folks get angry and depressed, they will do some evil things. So you got to be mindful that God is telling us to stay away from this spirit called anger. And definitely get away from being dejected. So say, intentionally say, I'm going to start off 2025 and I ain't going to be dejected. Now look at this. Verse 6 says, God said to him, why are you so angry? I mean, you done took your anger to a great extent. You beyond just anger. You so angry. The Lord asked Cain. Then he says, why do you look so dejected? I mean, some people that just, you can look in their face. They ain't got to say nothing to you. Their face tell you the whole story. Some of y'all need to start smiling more better often. Amen. Amen. You need to start smiling. Because you know, when you come to church, people are going to be reading your face after the day. And they don't want to walk up on you and you don't walk in here all day. We need to find out what's the source of your dejection, because we don't want it to turn to anger. And then you go and do something that don't glorify. Y'all better hear me today. He says this in verse 7. He says, you will be accepted. Somebody say if. If you do what is right. It's simple. Do what is right and you will be accepted, God said. But if you refuse to do what is right, then watch out. Do right or watch out. God said, you need to do right or watch. I'm warning you. Do right or watch out. Why does he say that? Because he said, look, I know that when you don't do right and you're not watching out, something is lurking out there just ready to jump on you. Y'all better hear me today. He says, sin is crouching. You know how a cat crouches down when he's trying to get a mouse? You know, God telling that little mouse, watch out. But he walking around all carefree. And when he least expected, sin going to jump right on him. That's the same thing happened to you. You walk around all carefree, ain't doing good. When you least expect, the sin is crouched out there. Just ready to jump on you. But look what he says here. He says, watch out. Sin is crouching at the door, eager to control you. But the next word is but. You must subdue it and be its master. That's telling me right there, you got something to do with the sin in your life. If you don't have it under control, that means you don't know how to subdue it. Because the Bible says if you do right and you do good, you can subdue. And you can be the master of your sin. You can tell your sin what to do. Your sin don't have to talk to you. You talk to. But if your sin has jumped on you, then obviously you're not doing right. Oh, Lord, I spent too much time right there. But let me go down here and just show you this other side, this evil intentions that can take place. It says, one day Cain suggested to his brother, you know, showing that family familiarity, you know, but underneath that, the first murder in the Bible was a brother killing a brother, all because he was angry and dejected because God accepted his brother's gift above him. And look, he says, one day Cain suggested to his brother. Y'all got to be watching out for everybody who suggests y'all to come in. You better make sure you ain't getting no suggestion from some angry or dejected folk. Y'all got real quiet right there. Look at him. He says, let's go out into the fields. And while they were in the field, Cain attacked his brother Abel and killed him. That was on purpose. Amen. Amen. So him killing his brother was not an, he did it on. And so we got to see, we got to flip that script and we got to do good on. You doing good ain't going to just happen. You're going to have to be intentional and say, I mean to do good. I will do good. Because if not, the other script is going to play out in your life. Look at this in Genesis chapter 6, when the people of the earth were so corrupt to the point that they grieved God. Noah purposed in his heart that he was going to walk with God even when, you know, and even when God gave him these instructions to build an ark, I mean, gave him all the instruction and the details, Noah intentionally followed God's instruction and did everything just as God commanded. Now, that's the end. I won't get all the way there. I just want to show you how Noah conducted himself when he was in the midst of a world that was all jacked up. I mean, people were so bad, so evil, that God decided he was going to intentionally do something to them. You know, when God took action, it was on purpose. He intended to wipe these folks out. Not only that, the cows, the cats, the dogs, and everything. Look here, you don't want to fall into the hands of an angry God. So I'm suggesting to you today to intentionally do good. And if you intentionally do good, you won't have to worry about the wrath of God coming on you. Now look, it says now this in verse 5, he says now, then the Lord saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, that every intent, that word intent is just a shorter version of intention, so every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. In other words, these brothers, everything they thought about, everything they did, they couldn't think of nothing good to do. All they thought about was doing evil, and they did it continually. And God had given them 120 years to get their stuff together. He told them, my spirit is not going to strive with you forever. In other words, y'all, you're going to have to do some repenting. You're going to have to change your way. Now, you know, 120 years back then, y'all can't use that as y'all measurement. Because ain't many folks living 120 years. Back then, they were living 300-400 years. So you kind of got to break that down. If 120 years, about a third of the time they was living, you then now we living to 70, 75. You ain't got but 25 years to get your stuff together. Young folk, you ain't got till you get 50. You better start getting it together right now. Amen. This 120 don't apply to us because, hey, very few people live today to be 100. So look at this. And the Lord was sorry that he made man on earth, and he was grieved in his heart. So let's look at God's intentionality in verse 7. So the Lord said, somebody say, I will. He says, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth. Both man and beast, creeping things, birds of the air, for I am sorry that I have made them. In other words, God said, I'm finna change my attitude toward them. All because of what they are doing and how they are intentionally doing wrong all the. And so God intentionally sent the flood. And he told Noah what to build so that he could survive the flood. And here's why Noah got an inside track and found favor with God. It's because Noah did some things in accordance with God. Even though he was living in a world with wicked people, he did not allow the wickedness of the people to have an influence on him to where he practiced what they practiced. God ain't gonna take you out of this world in 2025 unless you just die all of a sudden. But just for, I'm gonna assume we're all gonna make it through 2025. Then you're going to have to choose where you're going to hang out and what you're going to do in 25 and who you're going to do it with. Amen. Sometimes, you know, in life, we can't be a product of our environment. But Noah here defied the odds because in that generation, Noah did not act like everybody. In this generation, let me talk to the young people because some of y'all old folks set in y'all ways. Y'all going to just do you. Some of y'all, we just going to say y'all going to do you and God going to have to just deal with you. We'll let you to you. I'm just, but the young folk, there's still hope. So to the young folk here, y'all follow God's, Noah's example. To the young folk, in your generation, you be that example of good. You be that example of right. When you go to school, you act right and do right. And when your friends decide they're going to do wrong, I'm going to show you here later, you need to correct them. I'm talking to the young folk now, because if you're not careful, young people, you'll start living and acting like the world that you live in. And you'll forget that you're sitting up here in church on the last Sunday of 2020, and the preacher telling you to intentionally do good. Verse 8 says, look here. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. This is the genealogy of Noah. Noah was a just man. Somebody said, just man. In other words, Noah did what was right in God's eyes. He treated people right. He was perfect in his generation. Not mean that he was without sin or that he never had a flaw. It means that he was consistent in his devotion and dedication to God. And then Noah walked with God. Good God Almighty, at least who you walk with determine who you're going to be. Y'all better stop walking and standing and sitting with the wrong folk. You know, David said that in Psalm number 1. You know, if you walk with the ungodly, you stand with the ungodly, you sit with the ungodly, chances are you're going to be So I just got a question for you. Who you walking with? Who are you in relationship with? Show me your 7 best friends and I can show you. I don't even need to know much about you. I just need to know something about the folk you hang with. Show me the people that you talk to and chat with out there online all the time in the cyber world out there, internet and all that. Who you hitting up out there? Who you following? Who's sending you their every little update? Well, you know, every time they do something, they send you a little click, click. And you get upset if you miss it. Then you may have found a God somewhere. Noah was a just man. Let's talk about Noah, because I hope I got some folk here who want to be just. He was perfect in his generation. And Noah walked. And because of that, when God gave him the instruction to go and build an ark, Noah did exactly what God commanded him to do. Don't have time to go through the whole rest of that chapter, but if you read that, God gave him detailed instruction on what to do. And guess what? God told him who to put in the ark and what to put in the ark. And he said, two of every. And guess how he broke them out? How did somebody say it with me? Because I know y'all ought to be there. Don't be scared. He broke them out male. Intentionally. He told them, get a male. I'll leave that alone. Let me go to Genesis chapter 15. Here in this powerful passage of scripture, we see Joseph intentionally choosing forgiveness over revenge. See, he intentionally chose to forgive his brothers' actions, which they did on purpose when they sold him into. Joseph highlights the intentionality behind his brothers' action by contrasting their actions with God's greater purpose. And he came to the conclusion that what they intended for evil, God intended for a good and a greater purpose. They had one intention that he was going to live in slavery all his life, but God had another intention. Kind of reminds us what the Bible says, all things work together for the good of those that love the Lord and are called according to his. It didn't say all things are good, but whatever those things is, they're going to work together for your good because you're called according to his. So even though Joseph was put in prison, sold into slavery by his brothers, God worked that thing out for his. And because he worked it out for his good, it benefited other. Y'all look at this. In verse 15, Genesis chapter 50, it says, but now their father was dead. Jacob, Israel died. Joseph's brother became fearful. Look what it said. Now Joseph will show his anger and pay us back for all the wrong. Somebody said wrong. All the wrong we did to him, they said. You know, when you got a guilty conscience about what you have done to somebody, you sure hoping that they don't pay you back. But if you've done something to somebody and you know they had the potential to pay you, you walking around in fear. Because you just don't know when they're going to be lurking, ready to pounce on you because they're going to pay you. See, and I hope some of you who have been wrong, you're not lurking out there trying to figure out how you're going to pay somebody. Because you can't be seeking revenge. You're going to have to be seeking forgiveness. So they thought Joseph was going to pay him back for the wrong, all the wrong we did to him. And then verse 16 says, so they sent this message to Joseph. Before your father died, he didn't even call him our father, he was all their dad. Now I can't understand this. How can we have the same daddy believe in the same God and you sell me into? And now on the flip side of that, how can I be your brother with the same daddy and repay evil? Some of y'all are going to have to flip the script and do good to some people who've done evil. And some of them may be family members. Because this was a family affair. D was his brother. D wasn't no neighbor next door. You know, some of y'all in those families right now, going to the new year saying, look here, I'm going to get things right with my family. They did me wrong. They caught me in a bad thing. You know, some of y'all may have had a situation where you ask brother or sister for something and they ain't do nothing for you. And you've been walking around all these years. They didn't help me at all. And then now they got a need. And you all right. You kick it now. You know, you got it going on. And they say, come to you. Can you help me? And you say, man, I remember. I remember what you did to me. You ain't help me. I dare you even. No, you need that Joseph spirit to jump on you. Y'all better hear me today. Somebody in here need to hear that. No, not to hear y'all in here today. I'm going to give y'all the benefit of the doubt. I'm reading y'all faces. Y'all ain't show me a look that y'all need to do that. But somebody online, I can't see your face. I know you need to hear that. You need to be ready to show mercy to that person who did you. He says, your father said in verse 17, please forgive your brothers for the great wrong they did to you. For their sin. Somebody say their sin. He tells us what sin is. Their sin is treating you so cruelly. Now I hope that sin ain't on some of y'all. Y'all just came here to hear me tell you today that when you treat people in a cruel way, you sin it. When you do people wrong, you sin it. Now look at this. So we, the servants of the God of your father, well, he their God too, beg you, now they're showing a little humility. You see, God got a way of humbling folks. You know, we beg you to forgive our sin. When Joseph received this message, he broke down and wept. He cried for a couple of reasons, probably. One, because he felt bad that his brothers even thought that he would do that to them, that he would repay evil for evil. And then he probably wept a little bit because, man, to see all his brothers fulfilling that prophecy, that one day they were going to bow down to him, caused him to weep. Look at this, verse 18. Then his brothers came. They sent a messenger first. Now they come and threw themselves down before Joseph. Look, we are your slaves, they said. But Joseph replied, don't be afraid of me. Am I God that I can punish you? He said, look, your issues with God, you need to go to him and have him to forgive you for what you've done. Because as far as I'm concerned, I done forgave you. But now look here. The irony in this is that the very thing they sold Joseph into, they have to come back to him and act like the very thing. Look what they said. We are your slaves. They sold him into slavery. Now he's got the upper hand, and they're coming in humility saying, we are your. Now, you know, for most of us, that would have been a good saying for them to say right there, yes, yes, yes. I've been waiting for this day for y'all to be my slaves. I have been waiting on this day, and guess what? I got something for y'all. You know, because y'all don't know. Y'all put me through. I can't say the word H word right now because there's little kids in here, but y'all put me through it. You know, I got in the deep prison. Man, I was all the way in prison, you know, because a woman accused me of something I didn't do, all because y'all sold me into. But even while I was in slavery, at least God was with me. Showed me favor in slavery, and now I'm the second man in charge of all Egypt. So if I did want to put you in slavery, Brother Wilson, I got the power and the authority, but I'm going to intentionally forgive you instead of putting you in slavery. And on top of that, Brother Wilson, I'm going to take care of you and your children. Because I've been doing it all the time, but I'm going to do it on. Look at this. He says this in verse 20. you intended to harm me, but God intended it all for good. He brought me to this position so that I could save the lives of many. You all are probably in a position to do something. Because of who you hang around with and who you have influence over, you are in a position. And from the position that you're in, you can influence people, either good or bad, and you can correct them when it needs to be done. All because you're in a parents, you're in a position to correct your children. Amen. You're in a to love your children. And to do those things properly, you got to do it intentionally. You just can't accidentally love your children. You got to do it on. He says, now look, what they intended for harm, God intended for good. And he said, now look, I'm in this position and don't be afraid. Look what he says. No, don't be afraid. I will continue. Somebody say continue. I will continue to take care of you and your. But now when you tell them that, you know you want to be bold sometime, Brother Wilson, because you know you got the upper hand. And you just want to let them know, hey, I got the upper hand. I'm going to just tell you. But faith, the Bible says he did it kind. I will continue to take care of your children. He reassured them by speaking. You know, that's a lesson we all could probably learn sometime when we got the upper hand. How do we have the upper hand and speak kind? How do we speak in a gentle way when we're talking to people? In a caring way when we talk to people? In a way that's going to help people and not hurt them. Joseph on purpose did that because he could have left it alone. So I ain't got nothing to do with y'all. You know, some of y'all done did that to y'all family members. I ain't having nothing else to do with them. You ain't even send them no Christmas card. Don't even text them and say, hey, Merry Christmas. They in their little chain. You skip the chain and take their name out the chain and send to everybody else. I'm telling you, wrong. You are doing. You got to speak kindly to them. We need to get some help on speaking kindly to folk. Amen. Just ask Siri sometimes. Siri, how can I say this in a kind way? Amen. I mean, because, you know, I'm guilty because kind words don't just roll off my tongue. I have to speak kindly on. Amen. So when you hear me say something kind, I'm just telling you the truth. I done thought about that thing and I had to do this on. Because it just don't roll off mine. So when you ever hear that come from me, you say, God done answered my prayer. You need to shout. I wasn't supposed to make this about me. I wasn't supposed to say that. Okay, it's out there now. So I got to learn how to speak. Even to folk that done upset me. Done did me wrong. Brother JP said, I got to learn how to speak. Man, let me move on. My last turn is 1 Samuel. This passage details how David intentionally spared King Saul's life while Saul and his men was actively hunting for David. In other words, they was looking for him so they could kill him. In spite of his men urging him to kill King Saul, David intentionally chose mercy over vengeance. See, David made a deliberate decision to do things God's way and not the way of his men. See, his men misinterpreted the opportunity that God gave them. They saw it as an opportunity to kill, and David saw it as an opportunity for vindication, an opportunity to prove to the king that he was not trying to kill him and take the throne. Even though God had already told him, Brother Wilson, that he would be the next king. But David trusted in God's timing and not his own time. His men was ready for him to take the throne right now. Go ahead and kill him and walk out of here with his robe in your hand and his crown and all that and declare yourself the king. But David said everything got to be done in God's time. Now Saul had chosen 3,000 elite troops. And they were looking for David. And it just so happened, you know, in the spiritual realm, when we want to be very, you know, spiritually in tune with God's word. And as if we've done some deep study, we say, you know, this may have been divine intervention. In other words, God divinely set this up this way. God on purpose had this event in mind and had David and his men to be in that cave when Saul came in to relieve himself. Out of all the caves in the country. Somebody said, well, that was just chance. No, that was God. You know, some things that God can orchestrate in our lives, we just don't know how to give him credit for. We always looking for something outside of God to do something, line up some of these things. Some of these things fell in place for you purely because God has something to do with it. And you got to know how to see when God is doing things in your life, orchestrating things, setting things up, lining things up, so that you'll know what you need to do in that time, and you will interpret what he's doing the right way and not the wrong. Because I'm pretty sure there's some people online who would have looked at this opportunity just like David's men. God done set him up. We can pay him back. Look at this. He says, look at verse 3. He says, at the place where the road passes some sheepfold, Saul went into a cave to relieve himself. But as it happened, somebody said, as it happened. As it happened, the Bible don't know how to explain, but as it happened, David and his men were hiding further back in that very cave. Now, I had to go and do a little research on caves during that time, and I can understand why the Israelites having all them problems with them tunnels over there, trying to find these folks on the ground. Back then, cave, you know, I thought of a little cave, you know, like a normal little old cave you walk in, can't go over. Man, these caves was like, had chambers. Different parts of it. They were deep. They were long. And you could easily be in there. Nobody else would know that you was in there. So Saul went in thinking that, you know, I'm going to go do what I got to do. Take a rest. Take a, you know, whatever. And, you know, like on the in the hood, Brother Wilson, where you say, oh, I done caught him with his. I figured I'd throw that in there for a laugh, Pee-wee. You know how it is. You know, I done caught him now. That don't mean he physically standing there naked. You know what I mean? But it means I got him where I got him where I want. I've been waiting for this. I done got him, Brother Wilson, where I. And now that I got him there, if God don't intervene, I'm going to lay the hammer. I've been waiting for this moment. I've been praying for this moment. And all of a sudden, I look like God done let this moment show up. But if he did, what was his intent for allowing that moment to show up? Was it for you to get revenge or for you to show that you can forgive? He says, now look, this is what his men said. Now's your opportunity. Verse 4, David's men whispered to him, today, they even call on the Lord. The Lord is telling you. You got to be careful when folks tell you the Lord saying something, because everybody who tell you what the Lord is saying ain't interpreting what the Lord's saying the right way. Because they invoke the Lord. So it ain't no big deal because from Christian, but the Lord told me, okay. Y'all better double check whatever folk tell y'all that the Lord told them to tell. Because sometimes people can misinterpret what God is. Well, maybe not y'all, but these guys did. Because they said, today the Lord is telling you, I will certainly put your enemy into your power. Man, that sounds good. I got him over there. He over there doing what he got to do. We in the cave. He the only one here. All his men outside. We got it. He said, to do with as you wish. Whatever you want to do to him, David, you can do it. So David crept forward and cut off a piece of the hem of Saul's robe. In other words, he shouldn't have done that. But the king's robe, that would be good evidence later on to at least let him know. But in his heart, he know he shouldn't have even done that. You know, right now we got to see here, and I want to ask a serious question after I read verse 5. It says, after David did that, but then David's conscience began bothering him because he had cut Saul's robe. You know when you do wrong? Do your conscience ever talk to you? I mean, when you do wrong, your conscience is supposed to speak to you. It's supposed to tell you that what you did was wrong. And when your conscience tell you what you did was wrong, you're supposed to obey your conscience. You're in trouble, though, when you can do wrong and your conscience don't even talk to you. That means your conscience, your heart has become hard now. It's got a callus on it. It can no longer discern right and wrong. And so what I'm trying to tell you, when you hear your conscience telling you what you did was wrong, then you need to take action to correct your. David's conscience began bothering him. Y'all more concerned about what folks online say about y'all than what y'all conscience saying. Your conscience talking to you at night, in the morning, in the day, all day long, and you ignore it. And someone put a little tweet out there on the line, oh my God, that thing's speaking to me. Well, your conscience been speaking all day and you ain't heard not one word. You on purpose not listening to your. Or you can on purpose listen to it and do what it. So David's conscience began bothering him because he had cut off Saul's robe. Look here. Somebody said, the Lord knows. Bolden don't know, but the Lord know. The Lord know exactly what your conscience knows. Amen. Look at it. You know, if we really believe that the Lord know everything we did, if we really, really, really believe that, that'll change the way we live. Because he'll say to us, the Lord read that text you just sent. The Lord heard that thought that just went through your mind. He knew that thought went under the fall. The Lord. Man, that ought to cause us to want to reverence him and respect him and do what is right, because he know when we do what is. He said, look, the Lord knows I should have done that to my Lord the king. He said to his men, the Lord forbid that I should do this to my Lord the king and attack the Lord's anointed one. Man, he may be sorry, but God chosen. And I don't have a right to attack God, sir. Now, I know some of us preachers take that and keep y'all off us. Touch not my anointed and do my prophets no harm. Y'all keep your hands off both. Don't put y'all lips on Bolden. He is God's anointed man of God. So y'all, don't y'all put y'all. He ain't around. Y'all don't put y'all. But I don't use that scripture. Man, y'all talk about me all you want. I don't care. As long as I know the truth. I ain't going to lose no sleep at night as long as I know the truth. But it is in the Bible. Y'all leave God's anointed folk alone. Amen. Because he said the Lord himself has chosen him. Then look at this. Now this is what David make an intentional decision, because his buddies weren't hearing that. They were still thinking about this opportunity. We need to kill this dude. So David, on purpose, restrained his men and did not let them kill Saul. After Saul left the cave and had gone his way, David came out and shouted after him, my lord the king, showing his humility and respect. And when Saul looked around, David bowed low before him. This is a dude trying to kill him, and now David is humbling himself before him. But David got evidence in his hand. He said, now look, then David shouted to Saul, why do you listen to the people who say that I'm trying to harm you? Good God Almighty, that passage spoke right there. Who are you listening to? I mean, you need to go back and evaluate everybody that you are listening to and see what they're telling you, because they may be telling you to do some things to harm somebody. Young people at school, y'all need to pay attention to who you're listening to, because all your friends may not have good intentions. So you got to listen to the right people so you can do the right thing. So David said, why do you listen to the people? There's going to always be some haters out there. Amen. You can't, don't y'all listen to Bolden haters. Y'all find some folks in Striving who love Bolden. Amen. Don't listen to the haters. There's going to always be one or two haters. Not in Striving. Everybody love Bolden and Striving. But out there, there may be some. And you got to make sure you're listening to the right, not people who trying to harm. I don't want to listen to nobody that's trying to harm you. Amen. And people get upset at me all the time because I cross-check everything folk tell me 3-4 times. Yeah. Because y'all be surprised. Folk hear from the Lord and they want to tell me some stuff, and I just got to cross-check that. Who told you that? Why did they tell you that? I may know something about who said it that you don't know. And I do that on purpose. With intention. Now. Don't get quiet right there. Y'all got real quiet there. But come on, come on, cheer back up. We're done. Hey, man, I can feel it. Woo, shucks. Why do you listen to the people who say I am trying to harm you? Look, he says, David's vindication. This very day, you can see with your own eyes it isn't true. For the Lord placed you at my mercy back in the cave. Some of my men told me to kill you, but I spared you on purpose. There wasn't an accident, so I did it on purpose. For I said, I will never harm the king. He is the Lord's anointed. Good God Almighty. So David says to him in humility, look, my father. Well, he can say call him father because the king was the highest, you know, ranking person in the land, and everybody worshiped the king. The king was it, the supreme authority. But David was also, that was his father-in-law, because David married his daughter. So he says, look, my father, at what I have in my hand. I got evidence. Ernest thing, I think you preached somebody, I got receipts. I guess that was a receipt. I got some evidence. It is a piece of the hem of your robe. I cut it off. Somebody shout, but. But I didn't kill you. So I had you right where I wanted you with your pants down. And if I had wanted to kill you, I could have done it then, and my men would have backed me. But I, on purpose, chose to let you. You know, when I read that, I thank God that I believe sometimes God, on purpose, let us live. Even when we have done some things wrong. It may not be an accident that you're still here today. You may be here on, because God has designed for you to still be in this earth at this time. And you need to figure out what was God's intent for keeping you here. What was his purpose for letting you live on? What are you going to do now that you know he's allowing you to live on? And are you going to do it with attitude? Because you could have been could have been gone. I'm done. Look at this. He says, this proves that I am not trying to harm you and that I have not sinned against you, even though you have been hunting for me to kill me. In other words, David was saying to Saul, I'm not going to repay evil for evil. That's the lesson that you need to walk out of here with today. That there are going to be opportunities where you can repay people for what they have done. And you have to purpose in your heart that you're not going to repay evil for evil. Even though God has put them in a position where you could do whatever you want to do to them, you got to do what God would want you to do. And we do all those things intentionally to the glory of God. So this year we're going to talk about intention, because we got a fast coming up, starting a little next week, week after next. And if y'all don't go into it with intentionality, you ain't going to complete it. You got to start getting your mind together right now to do it on. Yeah, for a purpose. Whatever you want to be, to grow spiritually, so that you spend more time with the Lord. And then you got to do it with attitude, with purpose. Like, I know I'm going to make it through this thing. But I'm already getting my mind there now. And so I speak to our church and our church body as a congregation, knowing that I want you now to start intentionally seeing yourself being successful at it. Don't see yourself, oh, I don't know how I'm going to make it, man, it's third day. You know the cramps don't come. Yeah. You know that. Amen. Drink some more water. Amen. Get you some Gatorade. You're going to be all right. Amen. Your body going to fight. Your body going to resist. Uh-huh. Your sugar craving's going to increase. Yeah. But you have to own. And if you set your mind to do it on, you won't be just counting day. Oh, it's day one. No, we got 20 more. No, you look at it, day one, I won this day. Day two, I won this day. Day three, I almost got me, because they say after the tougher, man, my, you know, flesh was just rare and rare and rare. Everything smelled good. Even okra that I don't even like smelled good today. This day three, I mean, it smelled. But I'm going to intentionally walk right past it. So there's a lot of things that we as Strive, and I'm done preaching, can do better if we do it in. Something this ministry is never going to change unless we start doing something intentional. And that starts with me. I got to get back to a more intentional way of doing things. Do it on purpose, for a purpose, and with purpose. Bring the attitude. When it's time to get it. Yeah. Get it done. Can we do that this year? Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise.